All right.
Is everybody ready?
Do it.
Bring it to it.
2, 3, 1.
All right, 8:21.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
It was with my mouth.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show, let's go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 821 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Hello.
We have Joel.
Yo, yo.
We got Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command, soaking wet.
And we have Joel.
Hello again.
Like the soda. Excellent. How's everybody's week?
Doing peachy.
Yeah.
We've been having a lot of rain here too in Ohio.
Oh, we've got.
Dude, you just don't know. You have no clue.
Well, I've had big old thunderstorms in the past 2 days, but.
You have no. That's like talking to, you know, people in Minnesota about cold. You don't know.
Whatever, dude. If you actually lived in New York and more than you did, more than you do now, you know, I know you still have your place up there, but if you actually stayed there more than you do now, then and you'd stayed in the winter, you'd be bitching because it was too cold.
That's why you're not there anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right, baby.
I was in my garage. I think I wasn't even turning a wrench over the weekend. And I was just dripping sweat. Just, it was so ungodly humid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough place out here. Good thing we all live in air-conditioned caves.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, Dan, did you get...
I got from Amazon the seat cooler. It's combination, you know, heating and cooling. It was like $50, I think. And
how's that work?
I'm very happy with it. In fact, it works better than my wife's built-in setup. And other than looking a little rednecky, I am super happy with it.
What seat or any seat?
So the it's for actually it came with an AC outlet, so you could use it in the office also. Basically it's a seat cover. It does have heat with it. I haven't tried that out yet, but it has 3 speeds on cooling and there's a fan that just kind of hangs off the edge. The fan's a little noisy, a little out of balance, but oh my gosh, you know, it is so nice having air going by, you know, my bottom and my back after you know, when a car is heat soaked and you have to get in and drive for 2.5 hours. You're never stopping sweating. Mm-hmm. You're just not your back and your butt are never cooling down.
So you got the one with that little fan like hanging like mm-hmm. right around like between your legs.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, so it's like $51.
Yep.
Is this battery powered or is it?
No, it plugs into the cigarette outlet.
Okay, and you could use that anywhere, right?
Yeah, it has an AC adapter also.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want it for a seat in an office, which I may actually swap out the fan, find a higher quality fan that's not out of balance, because it does buzz a bit, because, you know, it's out of balance. Nah, I'm in the, just people are texting and stuffing right now.
No. Put a link in the IRC instead of that. It says, my snail lacks.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, $51.98. Yes, I actually might get one of those for my office, to be honest. Not for the heating part, but I'd rather have the cooling part in the office, especially in the summer. The winter, I don't have a problem. I'm usually pretty comfortable in here, but in the summer, because I'm on the upper floor and I got a window, it just, you know, the sun comes in and then this room heats up by a degree or two. Although I will say that if I keep my door closed, it's usually a little cooler here than it is in other parts of the house, but it still gets hot, especially if I have the 3D printer going and I've got a 60-degree build platform, you know.
Yeah, but that uses less power than a 60-watt bulb.
I know, it still heats up my room. It actually does.
How does it cool? Is it just ventilated and blows air, and that's without, and then the heating, I guess, he has heat coils in it, right?
Yeah.
It's very likely it probably has, there are chips that you can get where if you run a current through it one way, it cools. You run the
opposite. No, it's not a pet layer junction. No.
But it's not one, nothing like that?
No, it's nothing that sophisticated. And something, they're kind of expensive for that surface area. So they wouldn't be doing that. But the cool, it just, you know, the fan blows the air. And the heat, like I said, I haven't tried, but I guess it's just like any other heated seat cover.
And the pet layer would be extremely inefficient.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like a refrigerated seat, right?
No,
so
when they say quote unquote, it's just a fan.
I was like,
which
that'd be
basically,
yes.
You know, you're circulating the air conditioned cabin air, so it's cool air.
Now, here's the $1 million question: what happens when you bust ass on this thing?
It blows your ass up between your nostrils. That's what it does.
That looks like it just blows it right around the car, doesn't it, for everybody to enjoy right away.
I
approve 100%.
Now, my friend Judy over at Gear Diary, was talking about the ventilated seats because my Traverse has them. And she's like, she doesn't like them because it makes her ass feel like she'd wet herself.
Which ones?
The ventilated seats, similar concept, except it's built directly in the seat. I don't have to have a cover on my Traverse.
Oh, you mean it's built directly in the car. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Why?
But she said, I guess it's probably because the air blowing past the moist lower buttocks area, you know, because it gets moist in the summer. You sweat a little bit, you know. It makes her butt feel like she wet herself.
Does it make your butt feel like you wet yourself, Rich?
No.
It just dries it right out.
Me either. I had it on the whole way down the Texas.
Oh, you have one too?
No, I have it. It's built into my car. I don't need one. So
yeah.
I know that
you know
my
what?
Next car will have it too.
You know what you do is when you shut off the car, you sit down, you bust ass at it, so when the next person gets in there to turn it on and take a ride, like boom, right in the face, right as they start. It's like
farting in the couch cushions.
Yeah,
comes out like a week later.
Yeah. It's in
so
there.
If you guys get one of those, definitely use my affiliate link that I posted because this way I get a
so
whole,
he can
know,
get
a couple
dollar
of dollars
too.
Every dollar counts when you're a social media mogul like myself.
Now, I actually just got a dash cam for my Traverse, and actually I got it in for a review. So it's the Z-Edge Z3G dashboard camera. It comes with both front and rear cameras.
So do you have to send it back?
Is it voice activated when you say, oh shit?
No, actually it has a G sensor, and so if it senses you're in a wreck, whatever video loop it was working
but
on.
Wait. You're always in a wreck. What do you mean?
No, I'm not. Anyway, but it has that. I actually need to pull some video off of it, but I'm kind of waiting for a nice day where driving. Probably my biggest complaint with it is they designed it such that it does have a battery on board, so their idea is that you have it always plugged in, you have it always plugged in, and that your car would shut off the cigarette lighter adapter. That doesn't happen in my Traverse. So I just pull the cigarette lighter adapter, and then that way it powers down. So what'll happen
Does it have a 24/7 security feature also?
Yes. Well, that's the general idea. See, if you leave it plugged in, it'll be powered on the whole time, and it'll just record and fill up the card and loop over. Because that's basically what happens is it will record, and I think they are 5-minute clips. So they're 5-minute clips, 1080p for both, and it records one clip for the front camera, one clip for the rear camera. And if you leave it plugged in my Traverse, it'll just record that, and basically you'll, like, in the morning if you go out, you'll just get a whole bunch of dark videos, although it does have some like low light features on it too. But if you pull the power and just switch it over to the battery, then what'll happen is it'll turn off, and if somebody like rustles
What's
your
wrong,
car,
buddy? Oh,
it
here.
Will record a video clip. So it can kind of watch over the car, but
that's cool. So you can see who did the door ding.
You probably couldn't see that because that would be on the sides, because it's only facing the front and the rear. So, I mean, I guess I could get another set and post them that way. And I actually thought about that, but now the one kind of a pain in the ass thing with it is routing the wire for the rear camera. I might look for another one that I actually pay for. See, because I'm pretty sure there are a couple that are wireless or that rear camera is Wi-Fi enabled, so that way you only have to route it to a power source or something. I think you can do that. I'd have to look around, but because the cables, I've got it well hidden, but they still just kind of hang out here and there, and I don't like that. But the other bad part, too, is when you have the rear camera plugged in, both cameras together, each camera will be 1080p. Now, if I pull the rear camera, I can raise the resolution of the dash cam itself up to wide quad HD, so it's 2560 by 1440p. So, at 30 frames per second. Or it can also do a 1080p at 60 frames per second. So, but 1080p is more than sufficient though for a dash cam as far as I'm concerned. So I'm probably not gonna do that. But the nice thing is it does have the GPS and records the GPS track too. And if you use their software, Windows only of course, but if you use their software to view the clip, as you're watching that clip, it'll actually have a map right next to it. And I believe it uses OpenStreetMaps. But as the clip goes on, what you see in there, it'll move your the little dot on the map. So you can watch where you're driving on the map, too, just to see where it's at. So it's kind of nice.
Okay, so I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't use their software, can you get the video off of there?
Yes. It's just MP4s.
Okay, so then is their soft? Are they also like doing a GPS coordinate capture into a file while also and into another file?
Yes.
Or is that embedded
yes.
into the MP4?
It's actually in another file.
Okay, so their software pulls the two together and it's got like
it
a
synchronized
time,
right.
time stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's how I was wondering. This is whether they embedded it in an MP4.
And then the GPS coordinate that it records, it's basically a comma delimited file, so it's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
So you can read it and you can import it into other things. So it's just nice to do it with the others. Plus, the videos themselves, you can vary overlays, so like you can have it overlay the GPS coordinates on there as well as the speed, which for some stupid reason I cannot find a way to change that overlay from kilometers per hour to miles per hour. I don't know why I can't find that, but oh well. The whole reason for dash cams aren't so much that I can record every bit of my drive. I mean, I could, but it does break it into 5-minute chunks. And like I said, once the card fills up, unless the clip is marked to not record over, it will record over all the rest that's on the card. So it just keeps recording and starts over. So it can support all the way up to 128 gigs on a micro SD card, which isn't too bad. The one thing I did notice is if it has a motion detector on it for the monitor mode, if you have that active and you're trying to mess around with the buttons on it, it's kind of a pain in the butt. Every time you jostle it as you're trying to hit the buttons and change settings and stuff, it detects the motion on the camera, and then it starts recording again, which is kind of a, you know. It's you know, $80 on Amazon if you actually ordered one. That's why I might end up buying a different one, because there are better quality ones. This one kind of feels a little bit on the cheap side, but it does work. So, I've been thinking about getting one for a while, mostly because of the situation we had. And I never heard if our insurance company ever paid out, but Luke was backing out of the driveway, and some idiot across the street said he hit his car. But then I go and look at our car, and there's not one single scratch on it, not even a scuff. So, and the only mark I saw on his car was something that probably could have already pre-existed. And to top all that off, it was a rental car. So he probably, I know with rental cars, if you pay the extra money for the insurance, it just, you don't really have to do anything about it. The rental company just fixes it usually, depending on if you paid for that optional insurance or not. But anyway, that's one of those days where I thought, God, it would have been nice to have a dash cam on that car. And I at least could pull the card and yank it out and say, here, look, here's a video recording off of. Oh, wait, you didn't know I had a camera in there? Maybe you should be more careful about who you accuse now. It was the same house, too, where I don't know if it's the same family in there, but on the previous cruise, the two little kids across the street pulled their mom's car into neutral, and it rolled across the street and smacked the back of our car. I hate people.
Did it do any permanent damage, or was it just a bump?
Oh, yeah, it needed repaired. Yeah, and it needed repaired. Of course, it was a year ago, like yesterday, where Luke crack that car against the pole, so.
Oy, oy, oy.
Kids. Well, last night he officially bowled his last frame as a youth bowler.
So now he's adult?
Yep, he's got a league on Wednesday night and on Monday nights, I think. I don't know if he's got teams for Wednesdays yet. I'm pretty sure he's going to have a team for Monday, and that starts not next week, but the week after. And I'm kind of glad he's going to find a partner, because I didn't really want to bowl with him. Love my son, but that's mostly his thing. The only reason I was bowling on Fridays was I love the people I was bowling with. And I want to do it again, but Luke doesn't want me to, because he thinks the place they bowl at, which is the place we used to bowl at all the time, he thinks that they discriminated against him when they got rid of him on his job. I see his point, but I don't agree with it, so eh. Sounds like somebody's taking a whiz.
No, it's raining really hard here, and when it does that, it comes in through the air conditioning duct, on those, like down here by the basement, and I've told maintenance about it a few times, and they're basically like, yeah, it happens. When it's all done, just
not
run the
my house.
Yeah, and just run this, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm not gonna fight with you guys anymore. So, you know, I told them about it repeatedly. They don't care. They don't care anymore. Anyway, that's what it sounds like. Somebody's tinkling in my basement. So later, I'm gonna have to whip out the shop vac, and vacuum all that crap up.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And yeah, so what can you do? But so you're liking your camera, huh?
Yeah, it's all right. Like I said, it's one of those things that you have and you hope you don't have to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Although if somebody pulls off something, I need to figure out. I need to go dig in the manual. I need to figure out that what I need to do, which button I need to press if somebody pulls something stupid, so that I can just press the button and hold that recording. Because sometimes, you know, it's one of the most entertaining things to watch on YouTube when you're totally bored, is going to YouTube and look up Russian dash cams.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. There's some pretty wild stuff on there.
That and a road rage ones.
Oh. It's like the one I shared the other day, Pat, with the septic truck blowing up on the street.
That was awesome. Jet explosion.
Yeah, the tank just busts out on either side, and there's shit all over the place. Or you watch some idiot drive a Bugatti Veyron into a lake.
Oy, oy, oy.
See, I just wouldn't get enjoyment out of buying a car that costs as much as like a Veyron, because I'd be afraid that somebody would fucking hit it, you know?
No, I hear what you're saying. How much do those things go for?
Well, there's what, 1.8 million, I think.
Oy, oy, oy.
It's like, if my money is no object, sports car would be a Porsche 918 Spyder, which is their hybrid. And that's 1.3 million. That's just ridiculous. Yeah, the Veyron, the prices range from 1.7 million to $3 million. And quite frankly, I don't care for any of the colors I've seen on those Veyrons. Now give me a $80,000 mid-engine Corvette, and I'd take that in a heartbeat. At least when the Corvette breaks down, I can take it to Chevy and have them fix it, if it ever breaks down.
Oy, oy, oy.
See, I'm at the age where I think I want my next car to be a semi-fun car. No more dad SUVs. Actually, I'd love to get a Jeep Gladiator. Those things look cool. Meanwhile, Dan keeps patching together his Honda Fit.
It's still going, man. It's still going.
You above 100,000 yet?
No, I am 200,000.
Oh, holy crap.
Wait. Yeah, I think it's got to be 200,000. It's a lot. You know what? It's over 100. It's over 150. I know that. For some reason, I think we did 200. What really did it was the move down here and all that. Driving around,
right.
And, you know, driving back and forth and to PA with it and then going to
when your dad died.
You know what? I didn't. Well, there was very limited trips, but when he passed away, we had the Kia by then, so that's the car we've been using primarily for long trips since we got it. The Fit has taken a few long trips since then. I think it was not last year.
Southeast Linux Fest and Ohio Linux Fest.
Yeah. The year before that, year before last, we went up to Brigantine in two different cars because Aaron had to work a little longer. It's still. I'm a little worried about it right now because last time I took it in for inspection, the mechanic's like, yeah, the engine's supports, not the engine itself, but the supports should be replaced. And he replaced one of them, and he's been trying to find the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, he's like, it's not worth buying a brand new one and putting it in there. Like, we get find a used one. But it's like, it's not really going to. It's not going to do anything bad.
It basically would cost more to replace that than the car's worth.
Yeah, that's it. And it's not like the engine's going to fall out or anything, but it's just something that it should be replaced.
Get you another Honda. It'll last as long.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're trying to wait it out till we pay. We're like a couple of months away from paying off the Kia. So once that gets paid off, we're probably going to sell the... Get trade in the Honda for something else.
Yeah, which will give me what, $500 maybe,
something like that. See, another problem that I'm having, like, this happened once before. So the Fit, and I don't think I've talked about this, but the Fit's battery is a flaw in the design of the Fit with the battery that it uses. That the battery is like brand new; it's just enough for the vehicle. Right. Yeah. So brand new, it's just enough, and people have reported having some problems with the battery as it gets older. That if you turn off the car and leave the headlights on for like 5 minutes, it drains the battery, or leave the radio on for like 5 or 10 minutes, it drains the battery. Where you have to get a jump, right? And or in the winter time, it really starts to go, and you can't turn it because it just doesn't have a good charge anymore, enough of a charge because of the way the Fit's designed. But so my battery is probably about 5 years old now. I started having issues after about 5 years before. So this is a 2007, so figure we got it in 2006, so the car is what, 13 years old now. And I did replace the battery, I think it was once. I don't think twice. I think once. But it's starting to do that thing where it pulses the light, like the headlights. You can see it really with the headlights at night. They like pulse. They go zzz, they're like,
oh boy,
dim and glow. And it's been doing that for a while. It has done that before, and I think it is the battery needs to be replaced, which isn't bad. But the other thing it could be is the alternator.
You ever replaced it?
Would replace the alternator?
Yeah.
No, I have not replaced the alternator.
Yeah, it could be the alternator.
And so I was talking, like, the guy who used to live, like, right two houses down is an auto mechanic. He works for a dealership, but he's an auto mechanic, and he saw me when I pulled in, and I said to him, first thing I said was, it's probably the battery because I've had this happen before, and the way that the Fit's designed. He said it also could be the alternator, and I started looking into how much that is going to be to replace the alternator.
It's probably on the bottom of the engine too, probably.
Well, it's one of those things where I don't know if I would be able to do it myself or be comfortable doing it, because you have to take off like the drive chain and stuff that. And so, the work to do that plus the part is, again, it's like bucking up against whether or not.
Is the Fit a hybrid?
I'm sorry, what's that, Joe?
Is the Fit a hybrid?
No, it's not a hybrid.
No.
Just regular old gasoline engine vehicle?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And so
how many
so
more payments you got in a Kia?
Like 6.
Oh, so hopefully you can hold out 6 months and then you can start.
That's what I'm hoping for, because it's been doing it for a while. And like I said, I'm almost positive I had this problem before and I had to replace the battery. Like when the battery starts getting pretty bad, it's going. But it's like one of those things. It's like I could go and buy a new battery and put it in there. But if that doesn't fix it, then it's the alternator. Mm. And then I'm like, we're in borrowed time with it. So. So to get it replaced is almost, it's not worth. If I trade in at a dealership, they'll take care of all that themselves.
I need to check and see. We've had our Traverse for 2 years, so we should have 4 to go. But then my wife is the kind of person, she'll pay extra on the loan just to do that, you know? So I don't know. We didn't owe that much. I didn't really want a second payment, but we had to because we need that other car. And, so that one's probably almost done is my guess, because we only owed like after the insurance check, which was $500 less than what the total payout was. I think it was like $1,800. We only owed like maybe $2,000 or $3,000 on the cruise, I think, by the time things were done. If I remember right, I might be wrong. but still. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really like having more than one payment, and both of my cars are in really good shape, so I'm not really in. Plus, the Traverse is modern enough. Like, I got Bluetooth going to the car stereo. That I'm happy, you know. I am kind of jonesing for the new Traverse, but I'll be fine till this one dies. But I think. We'll probably wait until the Traverse is paid off. By that time, both cars should be paid off, and then I'll probably get something else. Just because I don't, you know, I'll drive what I have into the ground unless I trade it. You know, so one of the cars we'll probably keep. Like, we'll probably keep the Traverse or Cruise until it dies, but the Traverse I'd probably trade in and get something newer. Because I don't know. I don't know how much driving we're gonna do for Luke for adult tournaments. I don't know. I already said I'm probably not gonna be at every one of your league matches as an adult. I just can't do it, especially since we basically told him we want our weekends back. So no more Saturday bowling.
Boom.
That's when the youth bowling always happened, on Saturday mornings. So, I'm looking forward to sleeping in on that. But, not to mention the fact, Bully Alley food ain't so good for you.
Nah, what do you get at the Bowling Alley in a regulation? Like nachos or pizza or hot dogs?
Yeah, burgers, you pretty much chicken wings. Yeah. They have things. They do have like breakfast menu items. Things, you know, they have like breakfast burritos and breakfast like you know, eggs, sausage, and toast and stuff like that.
I guess, but they, you know, are like, open in the morning, aren't they? Huh?
They are. Yeah. And their salads though are horrible. They're all iceberg lettuce. It's like, ugh. Iceberg's okay, but if I'm having a salad, I'd rather have it like with some green, you know, like a spring mix or some spinach or something in it. If I'm having a salad, but their salads, of course, like when you order like the chef salad, it's just piled. It's more meat and cheese than it is vegetables. You know, it's not very good.
Yeah, that's cool.
For you anyway, but wow. You know, like the one up at the, I swear the alley you started bowling at Sequoia Pro Bowl, they every time I'm in there, it smells like bacon. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's just like, ah. But it's one of those things that Luke had went to the doctor's office. We had a little scare with him when he had his first set of blood work done. His potassium level was really high, and they wanted to run more tests because Your heart could stop if your potassium's too high, among other things. So they tested that, and you know that's okay now. So it must have just been some oddity with the test. But then his A1C though was pre-diabetic, and he's only 20.
Gotta lay off processed foods and soda.
Not good.
No more sugar for him.
He's doing good. He's doing better than I am. I can tell you that much on the that stuff. I'm getting better at it. They raised my blood pressure meds up when I went Monday, and then I had to. We have to go get our prescriptions through CVS, which I absolutely hate. I hate CVS. It's either new mail order or get the 90-day script at CVS. And I prefer getting it at CVS because I don't like mail order. For my wife started getting her stuff on mail order, but I just don't like it because I don't want them to continue to just automatically ship me stuff, you know. Not to mention the fact I was out, so I couldn't wait. So they call it into our normal CVS. Oh, they don't have it in stock. We'll have it tomorrow by 4 o'clock, okay? 4 o'clock comes yesterday. I pull up to the drive-thru at CVS. You got my prescription? Oh, it didn't come in. I'm like, what do you mean it didn't come in? I'm like, find it. Find me a place, one of your locations with it. Send it there. I'll go there. The closest location was all the way up by the airport. So from the south side of Columbus to the northeast side. Yay! It wasn't too bad, though.
How long was the drive?
About 20, 30 minutes. You know, it's, you know, Columbus
yeah,
is...
That's yeah, I mean, not bad at all. It takes 20 or 30 minutes to drive, like, 10 miles here.
Yeah. Yeah, Columbus is the third largest city now. We're larger than San Francisco now. So, but the traffic, unless it's rush hour, it's not horrible, you know. And to go where I had to go, when she told me where it was, I'm like, okay, that's not going to be too bad because the airport's not that busy in the afternoon. Poor Columbus gets most of its traffic in the morning, I think. So drove right past the airport, no problems, you know. And really, I didn't have too much traffic until on the way back. I drove a kind of a weird route where I didn't go on very many freeways. Just go up James Road, and that connects into Stelzer, runs right by the airport. That's kind of a back around way to get there instead of going over up to 670, and that way you avoid the freeway. If you can avoid the freeway, generally you're okay in that time frame I was going up there, which is about 5-6 o'clock. So and I know it doesn't freaking matter in Dallas area, so
so Joe, this is a question for you. This is on my mind. When I was in Columbus, right? Like during the day, it seemed like any other city, and then at night, I was getting close to evening, and on the weekends, when we were there for Ohio Linux Fest, it seemed kind of like, I don't want to say dead, but not compared to the like a workday time, and I've seen that in other cities too, and for some reason I've had it in my head all the time, like. Like, and maybe Hollywood ruined this for me. Like, I always, like, think of a city that's busy during the day as, like, equally busy at night and in the and on the weekends. Like, the people packed in all over the place, right? Not all over the place, but just – and I'm just always surprised at how not as busy it is. Like, not a lot of people that I would expect to be there. Is that like that where you are?
Where I am?
Yes, where you are.
Well, depends on where you're at. I mean,
because I'm
Allen, Plano, like, places like that that are, you know, North Dallas, they're relatively calm in the evenings, barring a couple of specific locations. But Dallas itself, I expect downtown is rather lively in the evenings. And I know the driving doesn't really calm down all that much late at night. I mean, you don't have the rush hour traffic, but there's still plenty of cars on the road.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Columbus is, like, the downtown's getting that way because we, it's getting more like the downtown itself, the downtown streets, because you got the Blue Jacket, especially during Blue Jacket season. And Saturdays during football season up by Ohio State, it can get crazy. But yeah, you're right. In the evenings, it's generally like anytime after about 5 or 6, I usually can get around no problems,
Yeah, it's like, well, I it's pleasant driving or moving or getting around Columbus, mm-hmm. Ohio.
I didn't really get off of work until about 5:45, somewhere in that range, and the traffic was still pretty bad until about 6:15.
Now, certain restaurants, like downtown, like going down to I'm mixed on how I feel about going to Schmidt's. I love it. It's good food. That's the German place that 5150 and I went to, but it's always busy. I mean, just there's always people. It's actually kind of almost a tourist attraction, to be honest.
Nice. So you and 5150 got the sausage at the German Schnitzel House, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Well, there's gonna be no problems if you come out to Ohio Linux Fest. I'll take you down to way down yonder, New Orleans, and get you some Cajun food. Oh my God, it's so good. I tried crawfish the first time when I ate there a few weeks ago. Crawfish chef etouffee. Oh,
and it won't be the last time, right?
No, sir. It was delish.
Oh. So I did a crab boil over a vacation for the family up there at our yearly reunion, and holy moly, I got a half a bushel of crabs and
gone.
And well, no, see, that's the thing, right? All the people that were there, so there was like there's five, so Paige and Jimmy were there, so that was seven of us, and then my wife's sister and her son that was able to make it, so there was two more, so that's what, nine, and then her brother and his wife and their daughter, so that's three, so that's 12, and then my father-in-law and his wife, so it's 14 people. So like 14 people, and I, for some reason, I had it in my head that a half a bushel of crabs was somewhere between 2 and 3 dozen, but it's not. It's like, it wasn't between 2 or 3 dozen. It was more than that, because everybody had at least one crab, and Jimmy, who's Paige's fiance, had like 4 or 5, and I had 4 or 5. And when it was all said and done, there was a lot left over. So for breakfast the next morning, I had like another 3 or 4. And then the day after that, we were leaving. So for breakfast that morning, I had another 4 crabs. I had like 8 crabs, 8 or more crabs between those 2 days myself. And that was a lot, wow, of crabs, man. New Jersey Blue Claws, and they were really good. They were really good.
You have to check the link down. Check the link down there for Way Down Yonder. One thing I'm going to have to try the next time I go is they have something called Down by the Bayou, where they'll take fried fish, like some perch, whiting, tilapia, or catfish, your choice, and then they'll smother that that fish in the etouffee. Oh, with some rice, of course. But man, does that look delicious?
So you got, when you had crawfish, you had like the actual crawfish from like a crawfish boil egg? So you had the whole crawfish or just the tails?
Just the etouffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically the shells and the, you know, they already shelled it and they just threw it in the etouffee. So
you gotta get yourself like a pound of crawfish, man. And just a couple of pounds you'll want. Just rip them apart and suck the heads.
I wonder if they have that there.
It might be seasonal, but let me double check. I look at their menu. They might not, like a lot of places. If you'd actually sometimes have to. Well, you know what? It's a what? It is. It's a New Orleans kind of place, right? New Orleans' finest restaurant. Hmm.
Doesn't look like they have that. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it really depends on the like it would have to be something that kind of does boils, like a boil, and I don't think that they do boils there. And like a restaurant that does do boils, kind of that's what they do, because that's there's a lot of options there.
And like almost all they do, but yeah, they got a lot of. In fact, their po' boys are delicious too. I had the shrimp one. Oh,
yeah, it looks really good. I would say if they're not doing a boil, you'd have to go to a place that does like steamed seafood and, you know, shellfish.
I need to try their beignets yet too.
Yeah, the food looks looks so nice, so good.
Mm-hmm. Then if you go to their Facebook page, they'll share. They pretty regularly will share pictures of the stuff they made that day. Which is, and those pictures actually look better than the ones on their webpage, to be honest. But now what they did start doing, and if we get a big enough group that wants to go down during OLF, they will take reservations if you have a party of five or more. So, and then some other day I'm gonna have to get over there early enough to get the shrimp and grits. They only serve that for like 2 hours. So like from 12 to 2. The shrimp and grits look phenomenal.
Want to hear something that's like the opposite of that delicious food?
Is it something about Linux?
Is it Popeyes?
Oh no, it wasn't. It was going to be something. It was food related. And then I'll get to something about Linux. How's
go
that?
For it.
All right.
There
so,
you go.
This isn't a question for you, Joel, but Pat or Joe, do you guys like sour beers?
I don't drink very much, but I'd give sour beer a try.
So, one of the interesting things. So I've been making kombucha the past couple of months. Like I'm on my just bottled my third round today for carbonation, and the first round I did with the flavoring and carbonation, I did a cherry one, and when I it carbonated very well, and when I went to taste it, it tasted like I was or drink it it tasted like I was licking a barn stall. It was really terrible.
I don't know. I've had kombucha once, and it was the commercial stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever drank in my life.
I can't bring myself to buy something that is a bottle full of what looks like seeds and stuff in it. Ugh.
Well, no, I love it. And this was just this bottle that I did with the cherry. And what I had thought, like, I could not taste the cherry at all. And I thought to myself, I'm like, man, this tastes really, it tastes bad. I wonder if the carbonation, the yeast had, and I let it go. This was one of the ones that I let go a little longer, had, like, I didn't put enough cherry in and just consumed all the sugar, and that wasn't it. Like, it was terrible, and I drank it anyway, but it was terrible. It's called Brettanomyces, and it's a strain of yeast that is being cultivated. We used to not, Like, most of the time, you don't want this stuff in any of your drinks. And it can be found on, particularly on fruit. And if, like, so what I believe happened is probably one of the cherries had this on it. And there was maybe some damage to the skin, and I didn't notice it, and it was inside. So that's what happened to this. They call it Brett for short, and it, some people say it tastes like a wet Band-Aid. Some people say it tastes like a wet horse blanket. It's disgusting, I think. Ugh. And so a lot of like, you know, sour beers, especially very sour beers, some of them try to get that funkiness in there and use Brett, and sometimes it works and sometimes it didn't. It didn't work for me. And then once I did more research and realized what had happened, it reminded me, like, a couple weeks before that, we had gone to the brewery down here, and one of my complaints with the brewery right in Fort Monroe, Ooselfish, they have really good beers, but they go crazy with the sour beer. It's like they have a Hefeweizen, a porter, a stout.
I would never like Hefeweizen. I've had it before.
I like it. It's all right.
And the only Hefeweizen I like is that what is it, Hoffenschaefer? That stuff that Tracy Holtz posted.
Yeah,
the grapefruit
yeah.
one. That stuff is good. I like that stuff. But most Hefeweizens, it tastes like bubble gum from a baseball card pack. To me,
the one down here doesn't. So they like have five beers that are not sour beers and like 12 beers that are. And I had like what I thought was going to just be a blonde ale, but it was a blonde sour ale, and it was so bad I could barely drink it. It had that really heavy Brett.
It sounds disgusting when you talk about it.
It is. So, I mean, if used properly and when it works, it's not that bad. But, boy, this stuff is disgusting. It won't hurt you, but it's just like, no, it's a funkiness that is very bad.
Yeah, I can see that. Actually, I got Android news to talk about. I'm trying Android Q beta, the last beta before the launch.
What are you using it on?
My Pixel 2 XL. It's one of the beta programs that now you'll see some stories where they'll say, "Well, they're killing the back button." The back button's not killed unless you turn on gestures, which I actually did because I kind of like the gestures. Basically, if you're like in an app, like say you got the Facebook app.
Did I lose you?
Up from the bottom, that goes back to home. If you're in an app, or if basically the equivalent to the back button is you swipe and hold when you're in an app, and that's kind of like the equivalent to the back button. So, and the same thing goes if you swipe it to the from the right, and it's that goes back the other direction. So if you going back and forth between multiple web pages in Chrome, that kind of works. Then there's the system-wide dark mode, which I did switch on. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the old G1 that we used to have, Pat, because it's kind of a dark background with the brighter icons. But it's pretty good. It's been stable for a beta. It's been very stable. My phone hasn't crashed or anything like that. And I kind of like it. I think it feels zippier, but you know, I'm waiting to see what it's like when it really launches. But and everything works on it too. I even like today I was at Target picking up some coffee creamer because I'm out of creamer, and not anymore. But but at Target I just whipped it out and. Used Google Pay to pay for it and works just great. And the only thing I haven't tried with it since putting the beta on is I haven't tried flying my drone with it yet, but I'm pretty sure it would work on that too. So basically, it's becoming like Ubuntu was 2-3 years ago, where it was just rock hard stable every time. I mean, just really haven't found anything wrong with it.
I'm really considering getting the Note 10 Plus.
It looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was expecting the price to be a lot higher. And yeah, the $1,200 price tag still sucks. But it's getting to that point where I need a phone. What do you have
now, though? The S7. Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you had an S9, they've been doing some pretty big trade-in things for some phones.
I saw that, and the trade-in value on the S7 is pretty low. So,
yeah, I figured as much.
I'll probably keep the phones and maybe pass them down to a child.
How much was your S7 when you bought it?
I don't know. Because I bought it, like, the first week it was available. What's that? $800?
Okay. And now, so the one you're looking at is $1,100?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long ago did you get the S7?
What's that? A little over 4 years ago?
Wow, that's nice. This held up really well.
Had it a long time.
Wow. I'm looking at Verizon's webpage because I'm a Verizon guy. The Note 10 Plus 5G is only $36.11 a month. That's not bad.
How much a month?
$36.11 for 24. That's 24 payments.
Do they have the $150 that you have to pay first?
Didn't say anything like that. Of course, that's for the 256 gig model.
It is still the 5G one, so.
Right. It's 256 gig in the Aura Glow color. I think it's the only color available in that.
Right.
Maybe.
And Verizon is the only carrier that's offering the 5G version right now.
Correct. Actually, no. You can get Aura Glow, Aura White, or Aura Black, which I'd actually probably opt for the Glow just because it's so different. And I would go up. Actually, that's 36 months. Oh, that's interesting. 36 okay, months.
That explains it.
Yeah, that definitely explains it. The 24 monthly payment is 58. And that's for the 512 gig. For the 256, it's 54. So, okay. Okay. And I would never go 36 months on a phone because by 24 months, you're ready for a new one anyway, usually.
Something like that.
When you were saying the Pixel, which Pixel you have? Pixel
2XL.
How many what do they say they'll support on that? How many versions forward will they support, or is it just
this might be getting close to the end of it, if I remember right.
So how many would you say that is? Like, how many years do they still provide support for it?
I think they're between 2 years and 36 months. So it's getting close to that now.
I was wrong. It's not a little over 4 years. It's a little over 3 years.
Well, still, I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
Wow.
I'm waiting. I still own six more payments on this, and I think it's six more. I'm waiting for the Pixel 4 to launch before I even start considering. I like my Pixel phone. Although I will say that Note 10 is very tempting.
Yeah, well, it'll give me a chance to finally check out DeX.
See, and that's the other reason I kind of like the idea of trying that, too.
And you don't even need the actual dock for it now.
Oh, yeah, just plug it into a Windows machine and you can...
Well, not just that, but even the S10 has the ability where if you hook it up to a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard and a USB monitor...
Well, you do USB to HDMI.
Yeah, exactly. And then the DeX will pop up. So I'm wondering if something like a hub would work. A display link hub.
Interesting.
I have one of those, so I'm going to give it a try and see what happens. Now, I know you can get Display Link to work with certain applications on even like my S7. So.
Now, I had the Note, I had two versions of the Note. The Note 2, which that's the one we raffled off a while ago, if I remember right. Mostly because I didn't want to stay on Ting. Then we had, I had the Note 3 was the one I had.
Right. My daughter has my old Note 3.
And I like the S Pen a lot.
Well, the new one's supposed to be even more awesome.
Well, it's actually powered too, right now. It's not just dumb.
Gesture control, remote picture taking,
et cetera. Android 10, I didn't think I would like the gestures, but I'm actually really digging it because it's really natural the way way the gestures work on Android 10. Of course, I don't know how that would work on the Samsung Natural UI. Is it Natural UI is what they call it now?
I'm not even sure.
I'm just glad TouchWiz is dead and Blur and some of those other ones. I think a rumor, I heard a rumor that the Pixel 4 is going to have some, like a ridiculous camera on it.
Yeah, and on August 23rd, T-Mobile should be getting their buy one, get one free deals.
Yeah, according to Verge, the Pixel 2, or the Pixel 4, there was a rumored picture that was posted, taken by Pixel 4. That it's supposed to have a 20x optical zoom.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the OnePlus 7 is awesome too.
Yep. Didn't it have like a 43 megapixel, I thought?
Yeah.
Somebody's got one that has 43.
I remember when people used to go crazy about, 8 megapixel cameras. With 2 megapixel front-facing cameras.
Okay, and actually that rumor is shot down. The person who posted clarified he wasn't using a Pixel 4, but he was using a Pixel 3a, and he didn't actually zoom to 20x, but just cropped the image. Cheater. Get my hopes up. No, I'm sure the Pixel 4 is going to have a fantastic camera in it, but...
Well... And I like, the Pixel started out as one of the lower cost mid-range devices, and it slowly creeped up there in price, and now they're branching out from, they have a flagship, and then they have their lower cost ones, and
I guess that's a good thing. Phone.
The 3A and the 3AXO. So I'll see what they do with the 4A and the 4AXO.
Yep. I've pretty much always been a flagship phone. I'm not the one buying the cheap ass phone like Dan does. But then,
Dan shouldn't buy. I don't any have more as many kids.
He said Dan shouldn't buy any more cheap ass phones. He should finally buy a real one.
Well, I mean something,
something better than like a Moto Z, whatever.
Something better than like a little more than 150. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it served me pretty well. I will say this. It's been doing pretty well.
My favorite Nexus design was that Nexus. I think you had the 5. That was a nice design.
What the old one? The old Nexus? Wait.
The Nexus. I think it was the Nexus 5. I thought.
Yeah. Was it the 5 or the 6? I don't know where.
No, I had the 6. Oh, you did. It wasn't that.
Okay, so I had.
It looked like a small version of the Nexus 7 tablet. Yeah, that was it, the Nexus 5. I still miss the Nexus 7, to be honest. I think I probably still have mine, but I know the connection on the bottom is about shot, and it's just... too slow beyond words right now. And I never had the 6P, but the 6. And then, I'm trying to remember, after the 6, I went to the Z-Force, which I still have as well, in which is the first Z-Force. And then I went to the Pixel 3, or 2XL, I mean, 2XL. I do like the big screen ones, too. My eyes ain't getting any younger, Dan.
Then you gotta wear the reading glasses?
Reading nothing. I'm on bifocals, and I got computer glasses that I'm supposed to wear when I'm sitting at the computer, but right now I'm just wearing my bifocals.
There you go.
Yeah.
That sucks, doesn't it?
It's when it's getting older, man. I'm still waiting for my blood work, because I had blood work drawn when I was there Monday too. I still haven't gotten it back yet. I'm just hoping it all came out okay, and all I gotta do is concentrate on what I've been trying to concentrate on.
Eating less fatty foods and less salt.
Yeah, and moving. The nice thing was, is when I went to the doctor's Monday, I was able to get set up on they have a portal, a patient portal now, so I finally was able to get set up with that. And technically, our patient portal is Hilo. That's the name of the app. But the nice thing in there is you can go in there and look at your records. I can go in and see what my blood test results, my blood panels were back in 2017 when I had them last. And stuff like that. And all, I can see all my records. I can probably, let me see, can I go and make an appointment? I don't know if I can make an appointment. I can see my past appointments, so I know when I've been last. And my medications and all that jazz. So it's kind of nice, but what's kind of neater though, and this is one of the things I'm going to probably pick up tomorrow because I can't find mine. I think I might have threw it out because I thought there was a hole in the hose, but a blood pressure meter, the home meter, so you can take your blood pressure with the meter at home, and a lot of them, the ones I usually try and get are Bluetooth enabled, so you can sync them, the tests, over to your phone, and those meters will tie into Google Fit, and Google Fit will then tie into Hilo. So when I go to the doctor's office, he can look at my home readings and see how things are when I'm at home and not in the doctor's office, because I get white coat syndrome when they take my pressure in the at the doctor's office. My pressure is always usually higher. I blame the idiots on the freeway. And well, I have white coat. And that's a true thing, too. People get it.
White coat?
White coat syndrome. When you go into the doctor's office and your blood pressure is higher than it normally usually is.
Doesn't that suck?
It does. Because every time I go in, they say it's high, and I'm like, yeah, no.
I'm like, I have that happen all the time, because I'm like, and I'm so worried when I go, I was like, is it going to be high again? Is it going to be high again? I get all worked up. And then, like, after I talk with the doctor for a little while and they check it again, it's like down to normal, you know? But I just get that, yeah, absolutely. White coat. I hear what you're saying. It sucks. It's not a fun thing.
Nope. And even worse, they had to stick me 3 times to get freaking blood out of me Monday. Once in the arm, then they did twice in my on the back of my hand. The right one wasn't too bad, but they didn't get enough out of the right one, so they switched over to the left one, and they brought in their expert phlebotomist to try and get blood out of me. And she goes and she jabs that one in, and man, it friggin' hurt. I'm sitting here. I mean, within reason, you know, it just hurt more than a normal stick does, you know. And I'm like, oh, man. And then, you know, then so I leave, and I've got Band-Aids on my arm and on both hands. I look like somebody beat the shit out of me. But you gotta get that done every once in a while, so. Especially as you're getting older. Well, Dan, you're what, mid-40s now, too?
47.
Yeah, I'm 48, so.
Oh, you got a couple of years on me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have that first check on the back side yet for your prostate?
Who, Joe or me?
You.
No, I haven't yet. They said like 50 or something like that.
Yeah, I had this one. And I would continue to see this doc. It was just a nurse practitioner. I would continue to see her because she would kick my ass whenever I'd fuck up. But, you know, she's like, you got to do this for your... She had this kind of bedside manner that made you feel guilty that you disappointed her. you know? But she'd done it early on me, and I'm like, yeah, I'd not have her having that part done before, you know. She's like, now bend over. I'm like, okay. Holy crap. And I'm like, okay, that's what that's like.
The last time I had that done, I told the doctor he should have at least, you know, bought me a couple drinks first.
Give you a reach around, right? Oh, man. The shit we do to try and stay healthy.
Damn, I gotta go back to work tomorrow after having like 8 days off. I don't know what
that sucks.
I'm like,
always sucks.
Haven't worked with it yet, Dan, but on our cloud team, I found out we use Ansible to Ansible playbooks to build our VMs for in AWS.
Oh, awesome.
So I haven't looked at any of them. I think eventually they're trying to automate things. So eventually, the team I'm a part of now will probably run the playbooks to create the servers. Right now, they're not doing that. I think platform team's doing that on our side, but they're talking about at least with the playbooks for the Windows side that they'll have a playbook that installs and configures IIS right from the get-go. So you just run that playbook and everything's installed. And then one of the things I asked when because we had a team like a meeting with the cloud engineer last week, and I asked him, I said, is there any way we can use this on the professional services side for on-prem? He says he thinks there is a way. So we'd have a Docker image on our laptop, and we could run the Ansible playbook on a client machine. And the client machine doesn't have to have anything installed on it either. So I'm hoping that we can do that. That would take so much time out of my day, and when I go to do an installation.
So my question about that though, are their machines a standard like operating system?
You see, there's that, part of the problem.
That's the only thing I wonder about. I mean,
right.
It should be able to work.
Right. For our Linux hosts, because we have quite a demand of Windows servers, even for a Linux client, it's not just a matter of knowing just, you know, what Linuxes are supported or anything like that, right? Like right now, our cloud team, I think actually they're just starting to use Windows Server 2016 for some of the Windows builds. Although we've been using them in professional services for a while now. So, granted, we usually do scratch installs. So basically, run the install shield, do this, do that, you know. So we are the playbook in our case. But, and you're right. You have to have standard machines, and we probably don't have that necessarily.
See, it's a tough call because you should be able to do it. And I say should, like,
playbooks should work and be able to install and configure regardless of the version of Linux or whatever that's running. But
see, I don't think, like, for some of our Windows stuff, I don't think it would matter because the Windows VM would be – the playbook in our case would just be install IIS and .NET and blah, 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 and that's it. You know, the Windows host would already be there. So it wouldn't have to know what the spec of the machine is my thought.
So using – you mean using Ansible on a Windows?
Yes.
To do, okay, I was thinking on the Linux side and – if you, so you're not talking about doing it on Linux?
No.
Right.
So, yeah, it shouldn't be a problem on Windows. Like, on the Linux side, if they were using, like, who knows what operating, you know, version of Linux.
BRel.
And, yeah, what version and distribution. There may be some things that you have to consider inside the individual playbooks.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm pretty sure they have playbooks that set up the VMs that they have on AWS. I don't know how we could leverage that from on the Linux host side from our side for on-prem install because sometimes when a client rolls up the VM. The RHEL 7 VM for the server migration for Linux, like either AIX or HPUX to Linux migration. Sometimes OpenJDK will already be installed. Sometimes we have to install it. In an on-prem, we usually pull the OpenJDK right from the RHN repos, which we finally certified OpenJDK, so I don't have to install Oracle Java anymore, and that's all because of the license changes that Oracle has pushed down.
Righty, right. Why are you saying that you wouldn't be able to use the playbooks for Linux?
It depends on how the existing playbooks that we have are written. If they're written to spin up the VM as well, that part's already done. Yeah, that provisioning would already be done at that point. I mean, it's just for the installation thing. So really, on a Linux host, we just have to install for us on-prem. For on-prem migrations, we're installing Java, our colleague Daemon, which is our proprietary thing, and Unidata. That's really the only three things we got to install. And Unidata used to have a whole bunch of prereqs, like we used to have to install PAM and a few other things. We don't have to do that anymore. They took all that out, so basically it's just run their install script, and that's it. I mean, the only thing we have to do is we have to go in and put the general baseline in the configuration for the database, which Unidata is a database. It's not a fully relational one. It's a multi-value database, but it's a database. So... but really, that's it. I mean, I can do the prep work on the Linux side in about, I don't know, about 10 to 20 minutes, I think. It really doesn't take that long. It takes me longer to upload the tarball than it does for me to actually run them. So, I mean, you know, that part doesn't take that long. It takes me longer to install .NET and Java as well as IIS and then the colleague Daemon and stuff on the Windows hosts where we have to put listeners on them, that takes a little longer. So I would probably save more time if we had the Ansible playbook for Windows, right? And as long as it worked fine there, that'd be great. But it's one of those things I'm going to push for because I think it would help us anyway be able to deliver the on-prem experience faster. So... But I don't know how much of that we'll be doing because I don't think they're selling on-prem anymore. So, but I'm excited. I think probably before I end my stint with them, they're going to show me more of the AWS stuff, which I'm excited to learn. I'd like to go get my AWS certification because that's going to be very useful.
AWS certification, there you go.
Yep, seems to be. Nobody wants to buy servers no more. They just want to buy time from Amazon or Microsoft or whoever.
Yeah.
Uses less electricity that way.
Yeah, put it in the fancy data centers that Google and... I'm surprised Facebook doesn't do that yet, because they have a heck of a setup, too. I read an article on how they make their servers and their data centers for Facebook, and it's pretty interesting.
Does Facebook own its own data centers?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know. Would you use Facebook data centers?
Probably not.
Project?
Nope.
Since Facebook now has 30,000 servers. I think they use a 12-volt power on all their servers too. DC power instead of having the all those AC inverters in there.
When you read about how they do their data, how they do their server, they didn't talk about how they do like an upgrade across all their servers. Did they?
No.
Like, I'm wondering, like, how do they upgrade the Facebook application? There's a lot of servers, so I'm figuring they have to kind of do it in. I'm wondering how they do that, roll that upgrade out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
I know they use Cassandra for their database.
So how, I guess they must do some kind of like red or blue-green or so. I wonder if it's blue-green or red-black or whatever. I don't know.
And Hadoop and Memcache.
They can have it all.
Yep.
And take yours
just
with
so
it.
So they can sell your pictures.
We gotta start wrapping this up. I gotta get to bed.
Yep, it's almost 10 o'clock.
It's time to get back on track. Ooh. All right. I don't know if I'll get both of these episodes out tonight. I got a lot to do. Gotta play some promos, Joe. You love your promos.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the Jack Attack in a while. They were going strong for a bit, but then they just sort of dropped off as far as I know.
Yeah, I haven't been subscribed to them or SMLR.
I've been listening to SMLR and LHS, man. I've been doing pretty good. All of them. Linux Lugcast. Yeah. They're still good.
You listen to the Mintcast?
I gotta start listening to the Mintcast. I have it downloaded, but I'm so backlogged. But I do, I will.
Mhm.
Because Linux Mint is more than just Linux Mint, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
So yeah, absolutely good stuff. All right, let me play us out. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying 8:21. We'll see you next. Wait, you're gonna be here next week or no, Joe?
I will be here.
Okay. Wait, when's your trip?
It's just a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's next week or this weekend?
Next week.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll talk to you before then. Have a happy and stay cool. And here's your promos. Oh, wait. I can't just play the promos, right? I got to play the outro, too. All right, so here they are. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux. Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback at linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Check your PMs, Dan. There's something funny I shared with you.
PMs under what?
IRC.
Oh. Ooh, all right. I will watch that.
It is another song right along the lines of Quack Like a Duck.
Oh, boy. That's going to be something.
There's no cock like horse cock.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, I got to get going.
It's funny.
Yeah, I got to get out of here early tonight. So.
See you, dude.
Have a good one, man. I'll talk to you in a week. Have a happy.
Nothing.
Halfway, it's hump day, dude.
Yay, I'm under corporate arrest.
And then I got tomorrow and Friday, and then 4 days next week, and then I'm on my little camping trip we're doing.
I envy you, man. Today is my last day of vacation.
What?
I think we're gonna do a pot roast on the campfire for dinner. Be a week from Saturday when we're doing that. I think I'm just going to do that in the Dutch oven on the campfire. Just get a chuck roast and some potatoes and onions and carrots and some beef broth and stuff like that and dump it all in there and let it cook forever.
Hey, who's all gone? Your whole family?
Yeah, just me, my wife, and Luke.
That's your whole family, right?
My whole family, yes.
You're staying in a tent? You have that nice tent, right?
Yep, I got a tent with a... It's got like a screen... Well, it's actually kind of cool. It has a screened-in room on the front of it, but you can zip up the windows so they're completely covered. So technically, you can use both sections of the tent to sleep in, but we'll probably just use the front as just a sitting area just in case it rains, because it is Ohio and there may be weather.
Hey Pat, guess what I signed up for in October?
What did you sign up for?
The Iraq veteran shoot.
Cool.
I'm going to make sure I go by everybody and have them say, oh, hey, do me a favor, say hi to my friend Pat that couldn't be here.
Who says I can't be there?
Yeah, there we go.
You want to go? I'll get you an invite.
Where is
well,
it?
Well,
it's going to be in Georgia.
Where exactly?
Oh, crap. I got to look it up. Did I put on my
You have to ship your guns or drive all day.
Ship? What are you talking about?
Ah, you drive, man.
That much yeah.
They got I'm they driving. Got tons of stuff there.
Actually, you don't have to bring anything. You just have to show up there.
Exactly.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, I'm looking at the weather forecast. The first day of my little vacation is on there. It's 80 and six going to be 80 degrees high, 69 low on Kelly's Island.
Dude,
so I'm hoping
Florida,
there's no
just
rain.
Be thundering, raining, everything. Blakely, Georgia.
Blakely? Let me see where that is.
Mm-hmm. I even got an air mattress, too. Wife's orders. I would have just slept on the ground myself.
Blakely is like north of Tallahassee.
Just north. Oh, it's all the way in the southern Georgia, man. Ooh! By Savannah.
It's by Albany. Albany, Georgia. Yeah. Like, south of Columbus, west of Albany. Kind of like north northwest of Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 15 and a half hours.
Only. I got a couple little prints I got to do before we go. And I got minor little camping gear things I got to pick up. I got to get I want to get one of them shovels. You see those little
folding shovel?
Yeah, the one with the pike on the end, because I'll use the pike
tool
to pull the lid off the Dutch oven. So I need that.
I can't hear Dutch oven without laughing.
I know you can't. Yeah.
So I'm a little pissed at Pinterest kind of changed how they do things. I was pulling the RSS feed off of Pinterest. So I was using Pinterest to feed flyingrich.com. Like I used to use Google.
Because
Plus.
You're a woman?
No, because like Google Plus, you could drop a URL there and you could select an image from it and then comment on it. And I was doing that with Pinterest, and then I was harvesting the original URL out of the RSS feed. They dropped the original URL out of the RSS feed.
So is it just a Pinterest feed now?
Yeah. Well,
not Pinterest.
In other words,
URL.
Pinterest directly.
Right. So they get the clicks,
yeah,
right?
Right. And which I hate to say, one of the things I enjoyed about Google Plus was the ability to share something, like whether it was just general or to a specific community, like the Tilts group or, you know, Mini PC group or whatever it may be. I'd be able to, you know, drop a URL in there, make a comment on it, tag the group, and then they'd have that information. And I really I'm not saying that they don't, but they're, it's tough to find something that has similar functionality as Google Plus did. And I was even looking at, you know, rolling my own somehow, you know, like on my own hosting site. Yeah.
So who's there?
That's somebody, you know, disarmed or armed the alarm system at the house.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was using Google Plus, and then my substitute was Pinterest, and now Pinterest doesn't show the original URL, because what I had it do on flyingrich.com is it would show up, because it's easy to do an RSS feed into my site, and then I'd rewrite it slightly that you would click to the original URL, and they're not doing that anymore. They're not embedding the original URL. So I guess you can't navigate off the site unless they specifically did it for me because they hate me.
An understandable sentiment.
Aha. Everybody hates Riz.
All right. Ready to start the show.
Dan, I just uploaded the last week's file. So.
Okay.
So they get 2 weeks in 1 week.
Unless they listened live.
Double the pleasure.
Nobody complained to me that we weren't didn't do a show last week. Can anybody wake up our one listener?
Everybody's on vacation, apparently.
Vacay. If I could only afford that.
Sell the house.
But which one?
All of them.
Sell what's left of the plane.
Yeah, that's not worth anything.
I'm not sure, but I think there was a fire in a homeless camp behind there's like a Kroger's and Walmart, and there's like a couple homeless camps behind those two stores down here. And when I got back from running some errands this evening.
Two homeless people?
We're not as bad as L.A., but...
All right. So this is going to be 821.